The next two items, we had public hearing jointly or together. Conditional use 1758, the application of Broadridge Properties LLC to consider the conditional use of land in a MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 16.18 acres more or less, lying west of Plantation Road, also known as Route 275, across from Shady Road, also known as Route 276. And conditional use number 1759, the application of Broadridge Properties LLC to consider the conditional use of land in a AR1 agriculture residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth Hundred, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 13 acres more or less, lying at the southwest corner of the intersection of Plantation Road, also known as Route 275, and Beaver Dam Road, also known as Route 23.
Marks, hang on. Is that you read both the titles or both of it, right?
Yeah, I read both titles. Okay. Just did my report, and then you had to vote on separately.
Hang on for a second. Okay. I think there's some questions so that you don't go through the entire thing. Gentlemen, somebody, I know there's a couple questions up here.
I'll raise a couple questions, save you having read all that. Since this was put on the agenda, there's been some activity of residents there. Want us to vote on it, want us to give them a time for the community to vote on it. And when we postponed this thing, we were asked to give them an opportunity to meet with the Homeowners Association or meet with the homeowners and try to come to a consensus. Is that right, Mr. Lang?
I believe so.
And do you have any idea what the alternatives or the options that they have been offered or were going to be offered? Or it seems like that some wanted the 4-6 single-family homes, some wanted townhouses, and we're not sure what they want. And I understand through emails that they're going to have a vote of all the people in the subdivision. Is that correct?
I've heard that.
We ask them to wait until, or they ask us to wait until such time as they got together and discussed it with their attorney, I think, and the developer. I guess, is there a consensus to give until August the 15th is when I think they're supposed to vote on it?
19th. I think
My only response is you directed it to me with that we had a public hearing on October 30th of 07.
Okay. My take on this, and good or bad, I've read all this documentation I've got from constituents and everybody involved, and it looks like what's being offered for the vote is not the option a lot of people want, is that the original application had 46 single-family homes, and that was 46 lots, 46 single-family homes.
And what was called Phase 4, right?
Phase 4 of Henlopen and Landing. What's being offered now for a vote is what the applicant has asked for a change, which they're not being offered as an option, the original 46 single-family homes, 46 lots, nothing else. P&Z came back with 46 lots, but it could have multifamily on it, and that's not what the constituency wanted either. My concern was putting myself in the shoes if I spend my life investment in the community, and I think that phase 1, 2, 3, and 4 are going to be the same, and now the game's changed midstream for whatever reason. I got a concern, and that's not what I supposedly spent my life savings on buying. That's just my opinion. I think that what I've read in the documentation I've received in the last week, that, as I said again, I'd be repetitious, but the option is not on the table for just the 46 single-family homes that the people bought into. And now the second application has been referred to, I think, as the annexation area or whatever it is. That wasn't part of the four phases of Henlopen Landing. That's a totally different parcel. Whatever happens there. But on the table today was the 46 single-family homes that someone bought into thinking that this phase 4 would be that. And I think, in fairness, if I bought property there, I'm being sold out short if it's going to change in the mainstream. I mean, if I'm told it's going to be a beach and palm trees across the street from my house, and when I make my purchase, spend my life savings, and now all of a sudden it's going to be something totally different, that's not what I bought into. And I don't think that's consumer-friendly or fair, in my opinion. But I've thought about this, and it's been something we've beat around for months. And But in all fairness to the people that live there, I just think it ought to be the 46 single-family homes. There should be no change to Phase 4. Whatever happens in the annexation Phase 5 or the other application may be, happens whatever happens. But in fairness to the people that live there, they don't have the option in their voting process to say, I want A, B, or C. It's just B and C. A's not there.
Well,
that's my opinion.
Mr. Griffin, the public hearing is closed. Is that correct?
That's correct.
So we don't have the option of asking Mr. Dyer what the alternatives are, but in lieu of what Mr. Rogers just stated, I agree with him. If they've been were sold that there's going to be 4 to 6 single-family homes, and that's what they're expecting. So I would hope that the tenants, if they don't want alternative, whatever is being offered now, and I'm not really sure what it is, that they would vote no. And to me, if they came back on August the 19th and said it was turned down, we don't want the alternative, then we can either vote to leave the 4 to 6 homes there, or we still have that option. But I would think if they didn't approve the alternative that he's giving them, we would know that they want the 4 to 6 single-family homes.
I think the difficulty of this is that when you close the record, you close it to everything.
Right.
So how would the result of the vote be admitted to the record if we had closed it other than by reopening the record? I think the position taken by, if I recall, by Mr. Dyer was that if his application is approved, he would remove Phase 4, which contained the 46 lots. And as a result of doing that, the density for Phases 1, 2, and 3 is not increased. But in fact, it went down slightly from 2.6 to 2.58. So it's only when density is increased that the owners have to vote by 51% majority to let you re-subdivide. So the status of the record was that there would be no increase in density. So,
well, was it Mark Dunkel, his representative, or not? Was that a different one?
I believe Mr. Dyer presented this himself.
That was CJ.
Mark Davis.
Okay.
That
all right. CJ. But I thought we were asked to.
I suppose you could put it off until after this vote, but.
You always tell us that when the public records close, we can't accept data to reach our decision based on what we already have presented. So that would be like opening it up again to say, okay, if we're going to let a vote occur, and that, how are we going to get that information legally? We can't accept it as part of this record. We've had a public hearing. The record was closed. So that means we have to render our decision on the public hearing. The record that was set forth, it was closed, so we got to vote.
Well,
legally, correct?
I mean, technically true, but we all know that as circumstances in a community change and evolve, it's only responsible for us to take that into consideration. And if putting this off for a couple of weeks until situation were to modify itself in the community,
I think it's time to do something. I think, and Jim, you do have, I don't know how much comments, because you do have a relationship with Mr. Dyer, don't you? Okay. I thought you affirmed it.
I'm just telling you what the record says.
Okay. I think it's time to move. I'm like with Lynn. I think we've heard enough, and we can't be opening it up and closing these things. Anything that sophisticated that we haven't heard before and seen this before, where developers want to change their mind after the fact, you know, after down the road a piece. And
so, Mr. Lang, what's before us today is a recommendation from Planning and Zoning Commission. I read their minutes. I think Mr. Johnson made a recommendation that I didn't agree with, that it could still remain 46 lots.
46. His recommendation. And
46 lots, but it could still remain family.
It's 46 units.
Right, it didn't say single-family homes.
Right.
So that would allow multifamily, and that's not what the community wants.
Well, but it was there is a way they build multifamily in this county that are separate homes, which is, I don't know how that we ever defined that, but years ago we did. And so I don't know. I think it needs to be clear and concise.
I'm not really sure what the community wants. I've had people saying they did rather have the town ice, and I've had some say they wouldn't, so... You know,
well, Dale, it's not so much what I get.
Judgment call.
Well, yeah, we made an approval based on an application that was filed, and they want to, here's what we want to do.
then they've sold out a bunch of it, and now they say, and they held off a piece. Now they've come back and wanted to change their mind a little bit, and because I don't know different things, but
I think the like people Lynn said, feel they don't have it. They got to take what's on the table offered to them. They don't have they only have a chance to maintain the 46 single family homes. They feel they got option 2 and 3, and the one they like is not on the table.
Well, let me move that we defer until August the 19th. That's a motion.
No.
Mr. Dukes isn't going to second that one.
Yeah, point of question, I guess. I mean, our legal counsel says we really aren't supposed to be taking into consideration.
Right, we're done.
Anything, you know, we're not supposed to be taking that into consideration.
Well, come the 19th, if a council member thinks there is something worth taking into consideration, we can vote to open the record back up and then accept that information.
Yeah, but legally, once we do that, then the door opens all the way. Is that correct?
Oh, yeah, we're back to Bates.
We're back to day one, square one, whatever you want to do it.
Next year.
Get it right.
I don't know if we have to put that much work into something like this.
Well, if this dies for lack of a second, then it's a good point.
It lies if there's no second.
Well, I would be more than happy to second, but I think the consensus, I mean, I'm able to count to three. And I think you and I'd be in the minority, but the reason I've hesitated to second your motion is because I think it's a legal point that we shouldn't take
open up.
We shouldn't take in information that we hear after the public hearing has been closed. So, and our legal, Mr. Griffin, said we shouldn't do that. So,
well, there are ways you can reopen the record, but you'd probably have to re-advertise, hold another public hearing.
Yeah.
Reopen the record for discussion would require a public.
We've
notice.
Had a lack, Mr. President.
I got
no second.
Okay, I agree.
Died.
Mr. Lank, you're back on again. If you'd like to read the rest into the, I guess, the records or what the recommendation plan is.
As I stated, the Planning and Zoning Commission held a public hearing on October 11th, 2007. Council held a public hearing on October 30th of 2007. Commission had deferred action and on November 29th of 2007, in reference to conditional use number 1758. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the Commission recommend approval of 46 units only based upon the record and for the following reasons. Parcel was and is phase 4 of the Henlopen Landing and was previously approved for 46 lots. While the applicant has requested an increase in density from this previously approved parcel, the record does not substantiate or justify the need for the requested increase in density. The Planning and Zoning Commission previously approved the Henlopen Landing project for a total of 277 lots. Homeowners in Henlopen Landing purchased their lot homes with the understanding that 270 lots homes were being developed, or 277, to change the density on this parcel at this stage of the development with phase 1 and 3 practically built out would be fundamentally wrong. Phase 4 was approved for 46 lots, and the Planning and Zoning Commission has not been given sufficient justification to essentially overturn the Planning and Zoning Commission prior approval of the 46 lots in this phase 4, let alone an almost doubling of the number of units per acre. The roadways surrounding this area are already problematic, and a substantial increase in the density can only compound the problem. By permitting the building of 46 multifamily units on this parcel in lieu of 46 single-family homes, Section 99-13 of the Sussex County Subdivision Ordinance, as cited by the applicant, is being complied with as this change from single-family to multifamily villas does not increase the density. In addition, this change from the provision of 46 multifamily units could result in the creation of substantially greater active open space in this parcel than previously approved as Phase 4 of Henlopen Landing, or as originally proposed by the applicant in this current conditional use application. Furthermore, the change from 46 single-family lots to 46 multifamily units on this parcel should also have minimal impact on the residents of Henlopen Landing. Salt Marsh Boulevard provides for a natural separation from Henlopen Landing and provides for a transition to the multifamily villas project being proposed as the villas at the Cape. And this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. One, this parcel is to be approved for a maximum of 46 multifamily housing units to be part of the combined project now known as the Villas at the Cape. Two, phase four of Henlopen Landing will be withdrawn from the approved subdivision. Three, Salt Marsh Boulevard will be maintained by this project, the Villas at the Cape, and not Henlopen Landing. Four, the Villas at the Cape will grant an easement for stormwater management as shown on the site plan in favor of Henlopen Landing subdivision. Five, the Villas at the Cape will only have access from Salt Marsh Boulevard with no additional access points from Plantation Road or Beaver Dam Road in addition to any DLDOT entrance requirements. Six, the Villas at the Cape will have its own amenity package which shall include a clubhouse, pool, walking trail, school bus shelter, and park areas. Seven, residents at the Villas at the Cape will not have any privileges or obligations to pay for the utilization of the amenities of Henlopen Landing. Eight, the developers of the Villas at the Cape agrees to install four-way stop signs at the two access points on Salt Marsh Boulevard and to install street lights along Salt Marsh Boulevard as well as install internal street lights within the Villas at the Cape. Nine, the developers of the Villas at the Cape agrees to construct the clubhouse and pool prior to the conveyance of the first villa unit. 10, the developers of the Villas at the Cape agrees that the sanitary sewer collection system will be installed in accordance with Sussex County standards and shall comply with all the requirements of the County Engineering Department with regard to any improvements to the system necessary to serve this project. 11, sidewalks and multimodal paved pathways will be built along both sides of Salt Marsh Boulevard for safe pedestrian travel for the residents of Henlopen Landing and the Villas at the Cape. These multimodal pathways are to connect with the DLDOT required pathways along Beaver Dam Road and Plantation Road. Like the Salt Marsh Boulevard, the Villas at the Cape Homeowners Association will ultimately be responsible for their maintenance as well. And 12, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. There was a motion, a second, and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. And that motion carried 5-0.
Thank you, Lawrence. Questions, gentlemen?
In order to make the community 46 single-family homes, no multifamily, not 46 lots, this has to be read and noted down and stated like it was originally designed how many years ago for phase 1, 2, 3, and 4?
Well, if you let's say, Jim, if you vote to adopt the ordinance, you vote yes, you go for
46 lots, 46 multifamily.
Correct.
Okay, if you vote no, what do you get?
What the original project
had called for.
46 single family homes.
Is that correct? A no vote would just
a
leave
no
the status?
A no vote would leave it as is, since it's already a record for 46 single family lots.
It would leave.
Or can you amend, or if you amend number one on this, what's that do to the project? Other than just it makes it, rolls it back to the original?
Well, basically it rolled it back to the original, except you probably have, you have more conditions on this than what it had on phase four.
Phase one, two, three.
Well, I'm talking about just phase four, because phase four, if I remember right, just had a layout for a subdivision. It doesn't have any major amenities. The amenities are within the Henlopen Lane.
So this would have
two major
amenities.
Which that was part of the original package that people said. Hey,
part of the original package?
Homes, I can go across the pool house, across the street.
Right. So if you vote no, that rolls back to the original.
Right. That's and true. A developer always has an option to add additional amenities, I would think. Right.
Yeah, to come back.
Rarely do that. No, anyway, I mean, but I'm saying they have the option.
We've had it happen.
Probably to revise their site plan.
We've had it happen as a revision to their subdivision layout. They end up losing lots sometimes.
So the motion has to be made in the affirmative. To read the title.
And then a no vote leaves it the way it was originally approved.
Correct.
Three and four. Single family homes, no multifamily on 46 lots.
Right.
Done. and that has nothing to do with the corner piece of land.
Right, it only has just the MR portion of the site.
Right.
This is not 70, this is, we're talking 1758 is what we're talking about, right. Correct now. Okay, guys, any other questions? Jim, would you like to read the title? Did you have it, please?
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located in a certain parcel of land lying in being in Lewis Ray over 100 Sussex County containing 16.18 acres more or less.
Motion, Jim.
Make a motion we adopt the ordinance.
Second, please.
Second.
It's been moved to second that we adopt conditional use 1758. Mr. Cole.
I'll vote no, because I support leaving the project as a single-family development, which will be compatible with the earlier phases that have been substantially developed at this time.
Okay. Mr. Phillips?
I vote yes. Based on the record recommendation of planning and zoning, I think it's an improvement.
Mr. Dukes?
I'm going to vote no. The people were told there are going to be single-family homes on those 46 lots, and if I was a homeowner in there, I'd be that's what I would be expecting. I vote no.
Thank you. Mr. Rogers?
I have no problem when an application comes in asking for higher density, gets voted up and down as merit. But the change of mainstream after someone sold or spent their life savings to get a community they perceived to be 46 single family homes in this phase of it, I vote no.
Okie dokie. Thank you, Mr. Rogers. My vote no, because I think it was the deal in the beginning, so motion desired. Next one, Mr. Mr. Lang.
The next item was conditional use 1759. I'll read back into the record again. The application of Broader Ridge Properties LLC to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 13 acres more or less lying at the southwest corner of the intersection of Plantation Road, also known as Route 275, and Beaver Dam Road, also known as Route 23. In this case, on November 29th of 2007, the commission discussed this application. Mr. Johnson stated that in reference to conditional use 1759, the application of Broader Ridge Properties LLC for multifamily dwelling structures in an AR1 agriculture residential district, that this application represents a parcel land consisting of 13 acres more or less that is adjacent to the parcel represented in conditional use 1758. The combined parcel are being proposed as a project now known as Villas at the Cape. And this 13 acres more or less parcel, according to the applicant, approximately 3.8 acres are intended to be conveyed to DelDOT and should not be considered part of the application. Therefore, the net land area being considered for the proposed multifamily dwelling structure should be 9.2 acres. Based upon the requested density for this remaining 9.2-acre parcel of 5.44 units per acre, I move that we recommend approval of conditional use 1759 for 50 multifamily villa units. This recommendation is based upon the record and for the following reasons. The recommended 50 units approximate the number of housing units proposed by the applicant on this parcel and shown on the conditional use site plan submitted as part of the record. This parcel is not part of Henlopen Landing subdivision and is not bound by the same footprint of Henlopen Landing. According to the applicant's prospective buyers of lots or homes in Henlopen Landing were informed that this parcel was not a part of Henlopen Landing. 5.44 multifamily units per acre is within the acceptable range of other previously approved townhouse projects in the surrounding area. The development of this parcel with 50 multifamily units should not have a detrimental impact on the surrounding area. To the contrary, this would be preferable to the possible alternative of commercial use. This parcel was not part of Henlopen Landing subdivision project and has not been subject to any prior planning and zoning proceedings. As residual lands, it need not be considered under the same density considerations as Henlopen Landing or conditional use number 1758. Although any increase in housing units in this area may acerbate the traffic problems of the immediate roadways, the requested density of this 9.2-acre parcel for 50 housing units is within reason and could prove to be considerably less than other potential uses for this parcel. This recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. One, this parcel is approved for a maximum of 50 multifamily villas to be part of the combined project now known as the Villas at the Cape, and bound by the relevant conditions set forth in conditional use number 1758 as follows. Phase 4 of Henlopen Landing will be withdrawn from the approved subdivision. Salt Pond, Salt Marsh Boulevard will be maintained by this project, the Villas at the Cape, and not Henlopen Landing. 4, the Villas at the Cape will grant an easement for stormwater management as shown on the site plan in favor of Henlopen Landing subdivision. 5, the Villas at the Cape will only have access from the Salt Marsh Boulevard with no additional access points from Plantation Road or Beaver Dam Road, in addition to any Del Dot entrance requirements. 6, the Villas at the Cape will have its own amenity package, which shall include a clubhouse, pool, walking trails, school bus shelter, and park areas. 7, residents at the Villas at the Cape will not have any privileges or obligations to pay for the utilization of the amenities for Henlopen Landing. 8, the developer of the Villas at the Cape agrees to install four-way stop signs at the two access points on Salt Marsh Boulevard and to install street lights along Salt Marsh Boulevard, as well as install internal street lights within the Villas at the Cape. 9, the developer of the Villas at the Cape has agreed to construct the clubhouse and pool prior to the conveyance of the first villa unit. 10, the developer of the Villas at the Cape has also agreed that the sanitary sewer collection system will be installed in accordance with Sussex County standards and shall comply with all the requirements of the County Engineering Department with regards to any improvements to the system necessary to serve this project. 11 sidewalks and multimodal paved pathways will be built along both sides of Salt Marsh Boulevard for safe pedestrian travel for the residents of Henlopen Landing and the Villas at the Cape. These multimodal pathways are to connect with the Del Dot required pathways along Beaver Dam Road and Plantation Road. Like the Salt Marsh Boulevard, the Villas at the Cape Homeowner Association will ultimately be responsible for the maintenance as well. Mm-hmm. 12, the final site plan shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The motion is second and carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. That motion carried 5-0. The difficulty of this is that half those conditions related to the combined project, so it may be necessary to change some of the conditions and delete some.
Right.
So basically, this is a separate subdivision altogether, and you mentioned a number of times that has nothing to do with Henlopen Land.
It was. I have no record of this section ever being referred to as Phase 5 of Henlopen Landing or any other agreement. No.
So it stands on its own merits. And
Sure, let's go through the conditions. Okay.
No, I got a thought here because we do have to do, is it substantial about a modification, do you think, on these conditions that we have to do, or is it something we can do real?
It shouldn't take long. You should just go through them.
Right. Okay. Let's just do that then.
One at a time. Let's go.
Number one, the parcel is approved for a maximum of 50 multifamily villas to be, and you would delete to be part of the
and nothing else
combined parcel.
The property, right?
The rest of it would come out.
You just delete number two, right? And the conditions on 1759.
Right. You would basically you would do this parcel is approved for a maximum of 50 multifamily villas. If
period.
If you're favorable toward the application.
Period. Okay.
Okay.
Period.
I don't think
number two. Concerned. Number two would be deleted.
Okay.
The next one is up to count. Salt Marsh Boulevard will be maintained by this project, the Villas at the Cape, and not Henlopen Landing.
What's plus or minus?
Plus or minus is that Salt Marsh Boulevard runs the length of Phase 4 of Henlopen Landing, and a portion of it. I don't have a board with this project on it. There's more frontage along.
Plantation?
Well, this would be the best way to show you probably. There's 456 feet along Salt Marsh Boulevard from Road 285, which is Beaver Dam Road. south, and the remaining frontage of Salt Marsh Boulevard, which runs around to Plantation Road, being Road 275, is for... a little bit over 1,300 feet along Phase 4.
Right. Pleasure, gentlemen.
Well, so the amendments are in Item 1, just to stop it after the word villas.
Right.
Two of the, then 2 would go out.
Yeah, and we need to make a decision. Are we going to leave in number 3? Or modify it.
And then on number 11, the reference to Henlopen Landing, would that come out?
We haven't made a decision on number 3 yet.
Oh, yeah, we were doing 1 at a time.
Okay. Okay.
I wasn't sure what the council wanted to do on 3.
Roger, you got an opinion?
Good question. Read that again.
Salt Marsh Boulevard will be maintained by this project. Villas at the Cape and not Henlopen Landing.
Currently, it's maintained by who?
Currently, it's maintained by the developer. I don't think it's maintained by the Henlopen Landing folks yet.
In their current restrictions or covenants, who's
it? I can't answer that.
And that's the only way they can get there, right?
It's the road that was built originally intended to be dedicated to the state, and if my memory serves me, the state didn't really want to maintain it, so they didn't accept it.
But it's a benefit to the people of Henlopen Landing.
It is a benefit to them, sure.
Well, everybody. Also, they're going to have to get in the
it's
back.
It's basically...
Both parties will.
Everybody use it. I do.
Oh, you cut through there.
I cut through there. I know where it is.
Yep. You want to participate in the funding of this road?
We could make that a condition.
Good.
Then he would retire.
And DelDOT definitely don't want it.
We can't force DelDOT to take it.
Accept it.
Is it a way that we can proportionally divide
the responsibility
based on the frontages? Is that?
Yeah, that's the reason I just looked at the frontages.
Right, say, is that the most equitable way, Lawrence, if you are giving us some guidance here today?
I don't know. I don't know what the intent of the developer is with the Salt Marsh Boulevard other than what was stated in the public hearing, because he was presenting it as a combined project. And they were going to basically, the villas at the Cape are going to take over.
Well, let me ask Jim. Jim, is there any, in the documents they currently have, would that, those private restrictions that people have signed off on in the covenants, is that something that would, even though we make a vote here or say something, would that override what we would do here? I mean, what impact does that have on what we're doing here today?
I haven't reviewed the restrictions for the Henlopen Landing.
Well, I'll tell you what. I make a motion we defer on this one and have a staff develop up a new set of conditions and some suggestions on
responsibilities.
This, and then we look at a document instead of going piece by piecemeal. This one gets a little dicey.
Thank you.
And this is a new one.
I defer.
We have a second.
Second that we defer on, excuse me, just a second.
See you
1759.
Is it going to be back on next week?
Yes. We'll be on back whenever Lawrence gets his material
Mr.
ready.
Let's
put it on the agenda.
We're not going to put this on the back burner because we said.
We'll clean up.
Mr. Lank, can you have something in our packet this week, or would you like the 19th or the 15th, whatever it is?
Your call.
Well, how busy are you? Are you able to put it together, Lawrence, for next week?
It's a matter of reviewing it. Just some compare.
So 1 week's fine?
But it's only a recommendation, and it's your choice to vote.
Right. But 1 week is fine for you.
Fine.
All right. Make it 1 week.
The 5th, it'd be the 5th of August.
Okay.
Is that correct?
Okay.
Move second that we defer action and place 1759 back on the agenda on August the 5th. Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Dukes?
Yes.
Mr. Rogers?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passed.
Now we got Legary Farmer.
This is your. Are you going to defer? You can vote on the dog, right?
The dog's still alive.
Yeah, good.
I don't know if that's a conflict.
Probably should have done this one first.
I better check with my dog, see what he thinks.
Think he's up with it or not?
Well, I don't know. Might not like the doctor.
The
still limp, still limps.
Huh?
Still limp, still limp.
He's still there?
Still limping, but he's alive.
Yeah, that's cool. That's a good thing.
The next item is change of zone number 1622, the application of Gary F. Farmer, DVM, to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a CR1 commercial residential district for a certain parcel of land lying being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County. For land lying north of Route 26, 2,820 feet northeasterly of Route 382, also known as Route 20, to be located on 2.54 acres more or less. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on June 12th of 2008 and deferred action. On July 16th of 2008, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone 1622 for Gary F. Farmer, DVM, based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the site is located on Route 26, a primary roadway in the county. Two, the site is in the future annexation area of Dagsborough, where recent and future residential development produces a demand for commercial services. Three, this rezoning will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. Four, the rezoning will be in character with the surrounding area and uses. Some of those existing uses are mini storage, automotive salvage, plumbing contracting, and warehousing. Five, the site has been used by the applicant as a veterinary hospital for over 30 years. The applicant stated that the use will not change in the immediate future. Six, the rezoning meets the general purpose of the zoning ordinance by promoting the orderly growth, convenience, and welfare of Sussex County. Mr. Johnson stated that he is concerned about spot zoning and that a precedent could be set, that the use was previously approved for the site of the veterinary clinic and questioned the need to rezone the property. That the site prior to the approval of the veterinary clinic in 1994 was utilized as a doctor's office. Mr. Smith stated that he had the same concerns. There was a motion and a second to approve the rezoning. The motion was denied 2-3. On a roll call vote, Mr. Smith, Mr. Gordy, and voted in support. Mr. Johnson, Mr. Burton, and Mr. Wheatley voted as nay.
It was
therefore, this the recommendation is that this application be denied.
Okay, was it their concern that it should be a conditional use or something else, or B1 or something other than C1?
It's already operating under conditional use.
It is?
Yes.
Okay.
It was approved in 1994. Prior to that, it was the doctor's office.
Right. Any questions, John? Being none, Mr. Griffin, would you like to read the title of this one, please?
Yes, I would.
Thank you.
Ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a CR-1 residential commercial district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Dagsborough 100, Sussex County, containing 2.54 acres more or less.
Motion, gentlemen.
Make a motion to adopt the ordinance.
Second, please.
Second.
It's been moved to second that we approve CZ 1622 as stated. Mr. Cole.
As I disclosed the week before, I used this man's services over the years.
Conflict.
And I did participate in a public hearing because our legal counsel said he didn't think it was a conflict. So just want to put that on the record again. I am also very familiar. Must ride by that play area, I don't know, 100 times a week, it seems. For over 40 years, it's had a history of an activity there of doctor, vet, or whatever. So and in the area you have a junkyard. We've made some other approvals that what are conditional uses, which will run with the land. So there's commercial activity under conditional use zonings. There's some grandfathered uses. So it's kind of a mixed bag. So my vote will be yes. I don't believe it will be have any kind of negative impact on the area because the area is pretty much established with these historical uses.
Go get a discount now.
Looking for a discount. My dog
how
probably,
many packs of coupons did you give you for a
my dog will probably die now.
Mr. Phillips?
I don't see the concern that this is going to create a precedent. There is much activity in this neighborhood. I vote yes.
Mr. Duke?
It's been a commercial entity for many, many years, and I don't see where it's going to impact anything. Well, it's already there. My vote yes.
Mr. Rodney?
For the other reasons stated, my vote yes.
I vote yes also, I have to say, as I've been by it too. Okay.
Gentlemen, the next two items are
Interlink.
Peace Market LLC. It's conditional use number 1775 and change of zone number 1637. For the record, your vote should probably be in the opposite order. 1637 is a rezoning from AR to MR, and then they're applying for a conditional use in the MR district. So the number should just, we should act on 1637 first.
Right.
1637 change of zone is an application of East Market LLC to amend the comprehensive zoning map from an AR1 agriculture residential district to a MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, for land lying at the southeasterly corner and the northeasterly corner of Warwick Road, also known as Road 310A, and Blue Claw Road, also referred to as Road 313A, and to be located on 22.49 acres, more or less. The commission held public hearing on March 13th of 2008 and deferred action. On April 24th of 2008, the commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of change of zone number 1637 for East Market LLC for a change of zone from AR1 agriculture residential to MR medium density residential based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the land is located within the environmentally sensitive developing area according to the current comprehensive plan. The MR zoning for this property is consistent with the comprehensive plan. Two, the MR zoning is consistent with other residential developments and zoning districts in the area, including Warwick Cove, which is zoned to MR medium density residential, and Gull Point, which is zoned M Marine and HR high density residential. Three, the MR zone designation is appropriate for this parcel since it will be served by central water and sewer. And four, the rezoning will not have no adverse impact on uses or values of neighboring or adjacent properties in the area. There was a motion and a second and carried with four votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons stated. That motion carried 4-0. Mr. Burton abstained.
Thank you, Lawrence. Any questions, gentlemen? Jim, would you like to read the title of this one, please?
An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in a MR medium density residential district for
Flip it. 1638. We're doing the AR to the MR.
An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agricultural residential district to a MR medium density residential district for a certain parcel of land lying and being Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 22.49 acres, more or less.
Motion, gentlemen.
So moved. Second.
We move to second that we approve CZ 1637 with the four reasons as stated. Mr. Hope.
I'm going to vote.
The condition, yes.
I'm going to vote no. I don't think it's.
You don't know why.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure, except I don't like it.
That would be, I'll win in court any day.
I was trying to get my, I didn't have time to write it all down, but guys, just go ahead if we have to.
It's tough
the
to
rest
be,
of you have some good reasons. So.
Okay, no. Mr. Phillips?
I'll vote yes, just because. No, it's an appropriate application that I think is an improvement.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Dukes?
My vote is yes for the conditions.
Mr. Rogers?
Based on record recommendation, I vote yes.
My vote is yes also with the four reasons as stated by planning and zoning. Okay, the next one would be
next application is conditional use 1775, the application of East Market LLC to consider the conditional use of land in a MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, proposing 70 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 22.49 acres, more or less, lying at the southeasterly corner and the northeasterly corner of Warwick Road, also known as Road 310A, and Blue Claw Road, also known as Road 313A. Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on March 13th of 2008 and deferred action. On April 24th of 2008, the commission discussed this application under old business. Johnson stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use 1775 for East Market LLC based upon the record and for the following reasons. One, the proposed conditional use is appropriate for the site because residential development of this type is appropriate where central water and sewer are available. In this case, central sewer will be provided by Sussex County and central water will be provided by a private provider. Two, the property is in an area with a recommended MR zoning that has developed with similar residential properties, including Warwick Cove and Gull Point. Three, with the conditions and stipulations placed upon this approval, the 70-unit multifamily dwelling project will not have an adverse impact on neighboring properties or community. Four, with the stipulations and conditions placed upon this approval, the project will not adversely impact schools, public buildings, area roadways, or public transportation. Five, this recommendation for approval is subject to the following conditions. A, there shall be no more than 70 units within the project. B, the applicant shall form a condominium association responsible for the perpetual maintenance of streets, roads, any buffers, stormwater management facilities, erosion and sediment control facilities, and other common areas. C, the stormwater management system shall meet or exceed the requirements of the state and county. It shall be constructed and maintained using best management practices. D, all entrances shall comply with all of DLDOT's requirements, and an area for a school bus stop shall be established. The location of the school bus stop shall be coordinated with the local school district. E, road naming and addressing shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Mapping and Addressing Departments. F, the final site plan shall contain the approval of the Sussex Conservation District for the design and location of all stormwater management areas and erosion and sedimentation control facilities. G, the final site plan shall be subject to review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. H, a 30-foot forested agricultural buffer shall be shown along boundaries bordering on any land used primarily for any agricultural purpose. The final site plan shall also contain a landscape plan for all of the buffer areas, showing all the landscaping and vegetation to be included in the buffer areas. I, the developer, shall maintain as many existing trees as possible. The undisturbed forested area shall be shown on the final site plan. J, no wetlands shall be included within any lots. K, a system of street lighting shall be established. L, sidewalks shall be located on both sides of all streets in the project. M, there shall be walking, jogging, and bike paths throughout the project as shown on the preliminary site plan. And the project shall be served by a central sewer system provided by Sussex County and designed and constructed in accordance with Sussex County Engineering Department specifications. O, within 3 years of the issuance of the first residential building permit, the developer shall construct all of the recreational amenities. P, there shall be a 50-foot buffer from all state and federal wetlands areas. The buffer shall comply with the requirements of Section 115-193 of the Zoning Code. Q, the dock, pier, or boat slip shall be utilized by residents and guests of the project only and shall be subject to the review and approval of state and federal agencies. R, the area originally set aside for wastewater treatment area shall remain as open space. Active recreation shall add attractive features to the project. Another alternative would be planting native trees and plants to replace the forested area being removed in the rest of the site. The final site plan shall show how this area is to be incorporated into the project's open space and shall include a landscape plan. S, the project shall provide for future interconnectivity to Rogers property to the east. T, the agricultural use protection notice shall be incorporated into the condominium documents for this project and shall be included on the final site plan. U, construction, site work, grading, and delivery of materials on offer to the property shall only occur during the hours of 7 a.m. through 6 p.m., Monday through Saturday. B, it is recommended that the applicant, in cooperation with DelDOT, resurface Warwick Road from Blue Claw Road to the river and Blue Claw Road from Warwick Road to Gull Point Road upon completion of the project. There was a motion, a second, carried with four votes to afford this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the condition stated. That motion carried 4-0. Mr. Burton abstained.
I have a question on item H, back on page 16, where it required a 30-foot forested buffer. That's probably just got changed to 20 feet by the earlier action of council.
No, we can require 30.
Well.
Can't we? Can't we?
I've raised the question because the...
Well, then raise the question. You just made it sound like that should be changed and not necessarily.
Forested buffer ordinance says it's effective when it's adopted. What's your thought on that, Mr. Lang?
But under condition... Well,
Let him finish, then you can jump in anytime you want. Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Lang.
I don't disagree. The ordinance just passed earlier this morning, changed it to 20, but it's still a recommendation of the commission, so I have to support the recommendation.
It is a recommendation.
That was done in April. Okay.
Right, but under a conditional use application, even though we adopted that ordinance, we still have the ability to do it, right? Say yes or no, please.
You could make a motion to adopt this as these are recommended, and it would include 30 feet.
Bingo.
If it didn't pass, somebody could...
I know how that works, but we have the ability still in the conditional use to make it greater than 20 feet.
I just wanted to bring to your attention that the ordinance previously adopted
says
it became effective when it was adopted. There was not a delayed implementation
period. But I would think that it is a bit in the system when the old recommendation was in place, and that certainly we should.
The recommendation of the commission was based on the ordinance at that time.
Right. That's right. Well, I'm just saying that we...
Now that we've adopted an ordinance,
right?
Right. But we still have the ability.
Okay. Any other questions, gentlemen? Not being done?
I do have one point.
Certainly. try to keep us out of hot water best you can, Jim. Well, that's all I can tell you.
I want to amend my prior comment.
Go ahead with her.
Never too late.
Never too late. Not in this bunch here. It's never too late.
Although the forested buffer said it was effective when it was adopted, it said that it applied to applications filed after it was adopted. So this 30 feet would stay unless you decide to change it.
Okay.
There you go.
That's a great lawyer. Good job. Okay.
I'm glad he's thinking.
All right. Now you can go ahead and read the title, please.
Excuse me. She's been taking a nap.
Thank you.
1775, an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, 70 units to be located in certain parcels of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 22.49 acres, more or less.
Motion, gentlemen.
I make a motion to approve CU 1775.
Second, please.
With the conditions.
Second.
Move to second that we approve conditional use 1775. With the A through N or 14
22 conditions.
22?
Yeah.
Okie dokie.
Two pages.
Perfect. Yeah, you do that A through. You kind of throw me out of whack. Mr. Cole.
Well, it's in the environmentally sensitive developing district, and I don't know how for the life of me that 70 units is environmentally sensitive with multifamily or whatever. So I'm going to vote no because I think it ought to stay. It's an MR district now that you've made it an MR district. I think it ought to stay single-family home, which is only permitted in a single-family home district. So my vote will be
no
because of it's more appropriate. I had some notes here, and I lost my page here. Hang on a minute.
Well, I believe you, George.
Okay, anyway, I was making sure that it's clear here why I did. Anyway, I support the single-family home because I think also market forces, single-family homes provide, I think, a more stable type of ownership. People are more of a stakeholder. They own the land. They actually take care of the land, and they get more involved in their communities than the multifamily does, where they don't really own the land and it's more of a transient type of ownership. So I think in this area, it's a very rural area. It's a rural community of Sussex County, and it ought to remain rural. And I think there's too many townhouse projects and condo projects in these rural communities. And I think it's taken away something from their character. So my vote is no.
Thank you, George. Mr. Phillips?
My vote is yes. It is appropriate, and with the stipulations, I believe all the concerns have been met.
Mr. Dukes?
My vote is yes for the conditions.
Mr. Rogers?
My vote is yes for conditions.
My vote is yes also with the conditions as stated by Planning and Zoning Commission.
Thank you, John. I'll see you this afternoon.
You'll see us in about 45 more minutes, as a matter of fact, give or take
a
couple.
Did you order some lunch for us again?
All right, John.
Yes, I can eat it.
Additional business?
We have introduction.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jim. Stand by one. Okay, go ahead, Jim.
Three
I apologize.
An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from GR General Residential District to GRRPC General Residential District Residential Plan Community for a certain parcel of land in Cedar Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 101.06 acres, Beaver Creek Properties, LLC.
I introduce.
Ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 Agricultural Residential District to a GRRPC General Residential District Residential Plan Community to a CR1 Commercial Residential District for a certain parcel of land in Indian River 100, Sussex County, containing 43.19 acres, Baywood, LLC.
That's a reintroduction.
Okay.
That's a reintroduction. They added an additional 5 plus or minus acres to the application.
It starts over again?
I'll reintroduce.
There's only two.
Okay.
That's it. Additional business. Come on down.
I'm going to go to lunch, guys.
Executive?
Put on the executive session, please.
And because of the price of photographs these days, these are some of the most that support what I had to say. President and members of the council, I've prepared a letter which I've given to each one of you of what I stated last meeting, and I'm hoping and requesting that you will respond in writing to me to the questions that I have asked. A couple of other things. Mr. Milligan was very, very nice yesterday to come out to my home to inspect what I had pulled permits for. And although the county does not require him to come out at the present to do this, he did note that it did not seem to be a safe condition. So I am requesting again of this commission, of this council, that if a building permit is pulled, if the homeowner has any questions as to what has been done on the property, that a building inspector come out, and they have so much more authority than a homeowner to make someone comply to what should be done. And because this was not done, I have to go to court. And it's costing me a lot of money to do it because I had to bring someone else in because it was really an unsafe condition that could have affected my neighbors and everybody else. And it's just that I'm astute enough that I knew what I needed to do, and I brought in other independent contractors and stuff to write letters at a cost, which could have been very much circumvented by having a building inspector done, which I think carries more weight than anybody else. But be it as it may, I want to stop there on that. What I do want to ask, though, is I was looking at the assessments of my home and other neighbors' homes. We have different models in the community, but I was just looking at how things were assessed before people did improvements on their homes. And one thing I did note, and I didn't go through every single parcel in the community, there are, I think it's going to be 2,000 homes going in there, whatever. But I looked at a few, and between what I looked at, the assessment of the land went for as high as $3,000 that I could find to a low of about $2,000 on essentially the same parcels, because this is a subdivision. It is a retirement community. The parcels are not big. So I question why, and I want to just pass this. I'm lot 215. And I have on my cul-de-sac the smallest lot, square footage-wise. But I am paying, my assessed value is $2,600. As I say, there are many that are $3,000. The lowest I found was $2,100. And I question, why is this? And when I spoke to Mr. Parker, he told me, it goes on the frontage of your property. And that's how they assess. Now, The thing is that I said, well, that seems rather archaic. I don't know anyone else who does it this way. It's usually on square footage. But there are other communities, not necessarily in Sussex County or in Delaware, that when you're doing these very small parcels, you're not buying an acre as opposed to three-quarters of an acre and plopping a house on it, that they tend to evaluate all the lands the same and assess them the same way. So when I spoke to Mr. Park, he says, well, we're not going to be able to change this because this would cause a reassessment throughout the county, and we are not going to reassess. And I was just wondering, do you really have to do that? You could pass an ordinance, and you can say for developments of this type, where the parcels are very, very small, that you can take an average and you can assess everyone the same way. I feel slighted. I'm sorry. I'm on a cul-de-sac because of my frontage, but I have a very, very narrow lot. Very, very narrow. And I'm being assessed more than my neighbor who has a substantially larger lot. So I just would like you to really consider this.
Are you talking about the 62-foot versus the, because you're 59, right? 59.8?
Right. But look at the back. I have like 92, and they have 123. And their sides. I have the ability with my side beds, which are only 4 feet. A lawnmower can only makes one pass.
Okay. So your point would be to...
That I think that you could have an ordinance passed for developments like this where they don't have a lot of land. You're not buying acreage and putting up a house on it, that we would all be treated fairly, and whatever that assessment is, that's what the assessment is, but not have something as such variance as $3,000 going down to $2,000. That's $1,000 difference on basically the same type of property, only based on because the county has their way of doing it right now is on the frontage of your property.
Okay.
And I just want to ask one other question. This is just a question. I was very interested in this buffer zone that came up for old business.
Okay.
And the question I have is, when Heritage Shores was developed, especially in light where it appears that this was an unwritten ordinance, am I correct that you said this is...
You are in the town of Bridgeville, though, you have to understand.
Yeah, so...
This has nothing to do with you.
Is that right?
That's correct.
You don't supersede the town?
No, ma'am.
No, ma'am.
Nope.
They supersede us.
Yeah. Their turf is their turf, ours is ours.
Okay.
So in the city limits, of whatever their rules and regulations.
Even I would assume that they could, if the assessment is, well, we'll look into that. But,
well, the county, we do a county assessment, right?
We do.
Well, yeah, they defer to you for assessments.
They do, but they don't have to do it. Am I right, Eddie?
Oh, no.
They can do their own.
If there's county assessment and town assessment. Right. I mean, there's two different taxes this lady's paying. Yeah. So she's just saying, on the county, we do a front footage.
Right.
Well, is that right or wrong? And she says it's wrong. It's not a good way to do it. And we do the same thing with sewers too. And I agree with you. I've always argued that we shouldn't be doing it with sewers. So you got a point. I think you have a point.
Okay, well, but as far as Buffalo, the town limits or the town limits?
Okay.
Our ordinances do not apply in the town.
It has nothing to do with the town of Bridgeville.
All right. And I gave you all the pictures because, and now Mr. Duke can see, when I said 23 inches, they are 23 inches, that was an exterior wall, and that's not all the pictures. I mean, my husband has like 300 pictures home. I took this on my cabinet, and I have those here.
Okay.
But there are just a lot of problems in that development. And something else just came out yesterday that people are noticing is the siding is now buckling in spots. And, you know, Lennar's stock right now is $10 a share. Where do you think this company is going? And there's only one place that's left to go to, and that is the county issuing the COs on these homes.
Okay.
We should be looking at it.
We'll look at this.
Yes,
being you just gave it to us. And
pardon?
I know Mr. Milligan and a couple other, Mr. Bart. There's been several people out to see you this week, if I'm not mistaken.
They came yesterday.
Okay, that's cool. Okay. We haven't had time to talk to them.
No, I understand. The problem is that the problems are in, a lot of the problems are in the framing of the houses. You can't correct the problems because it's in the framing. And the other thing is that the one other thing I like to mention, which I am astounded, and there's no way of verifying this except by visual inspection, okay? There were blueprints submitted with each of these homes. Blueprints were never kept. I was told they are destroyed upon completion and CO of a home. Therefore, there is no evidence, no plan, no anything to say whether the developer actually built the home to the specification that was submitted at the time of the permit. They are not kept. Okay? I can tell you matter-of-factly that this is not my home. I have a Georgetown, but the bridge branches, some of them have in the garages, 24 spans, have steel beams, some of them don't. Same model, same subdivision. On the Georgetown, someone told me, I cannot substantiate this because we don't have the blueprints, that there was supposed to be two steel support beams going across that were never put in, never inspected by anyone from the county, and this is why we're having those problems on the Georgetown now. So the thing is, but if you had those architectural blueprints, then you would know, look, we got a problem here, and make that developer go down. If he had to rip that whole damn house down, that would be on him to do that. And I am maintaining here as I'm standing before you, there are going to be a lot of ongoing problems with these homes. And I will tell you, I have spent a tremendous amount of money. I just found out yesterday when Mr. Milligan came out, I showed him. I understand the county doesn't go this lanes to inspect, but my floor tile, you knock on it, it is hollow. I had Lennar come in with CTI, their installer, and CTI said, there's no problems. I called up Dow Tile. They were the manufacturer of the tile. They say to me, CTI is one of our biggest customers. Too bad, we're not coming in to look at the tile. Now I have an option of going out and suing them. It's going to cost me, I got bids, it's going to cost me over $4,000 for two areas of tile, plus the cost of the tile to have replaced. Over $5,000 just to replace tile because of these issues. People are having roofing problems, those heating systems are probably going to have to be replaced. People have told me, I don't know this personally, that the ductwork for the air conditioners are undersized for the condensers that were put outside. We have 5-ton and they have 3-ton. And none of this stuff is inspected.
Okay.
Okay?
We'll give you, we'll meet with Mr. Parker and Mr.
You need to also go to the town of Bridgeville and put this on Mr. Conaway's plate.
Well, I'd like to just tell you something about
that. You can talk to Mr. Conaway. We have to go to executive session.
If you have, great. We don't want to hear about it.
Thank you for your time. Okay.
But I'm just saying, Mr. Conaway needs to hear about it.
Okay.
You tell him, good.
Executive session.
Any other business?
Yeah, I got one other thing. I was fortunate enough to have exposure to two prominent attorneys Sunday night. And they had some suggestions because they're a little worried about this lame duck administration that we're going to be operating under, you know, for the next 5 months. They were fearful of what could happen. And I said, don't worry. They don't do very much. But they did have a good suggestion for you gentlemen on the way out. What you could do is maybe
shoot you.
No. I know we have budget problems, but they were talking about a county band that we could maybe have a musical selection at the beginning of every meeting and a musical selection at the end of every meeting. And that would might bring in more people. Is there any thoughts on that?
No, I think, we ought to go.
Well, no, it's two. These were Democrat attorneys. These were very prominent. They had some good ideas.
I really think we ought to go paid review. We ought to go paid review because we're the best show in town.
They probably want to pay county.
Instead of giving it away free on the internet.
I thought the county band was a kind of not a bad idea.
They probably want county attorneys.
Yes, ma'am. Come on forward. Additional business. Come on up.
Back here, ma'am.
Phil, I thought it was going to be something.
Come on. You got to come up in front and talk to us.
Yes.
Well, yep. You're still here. Yep.
Yes, come on.
Yes, ma'am.
It's going to be hard to follow up after that county ban suggestion, though.
Right. I don't think you have to worry about that one getting all set up.
Oh, okay. That might go nowhere.
We can't do open space, let alone.
I was told you have something else going on at 1:30, so I'll try to rush.
No, that's fine. Take your time. We don't get paid by now. They just give us something every 2 weeks. That's okay. Take your time, ma'am. Don't panic.
All right. That's right. I'll share with Sue.
Well, Robin needs
one. It's tough up here.